लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today it's Actress Day and I have a really lovely actress. For me, it's great because she's not so young. I see all the other actresses I asked. They could be my daughters. So I'm happy that we are now a bit more in my age, but that's not bad at all. I'm really glad she's joined me. And I said hello to Karen Smolinski. Hi, welcome to my podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. And yes, well, I'm still much older than you, but at least
I don't think so, because the most people underestimate my age.
Oh, there you go.
For your information, probably I could be the mother of Molly Anderson.
Oh.
How old is Molly?
I'm 52. I'm totally open with my age because I'm so happy to be representing mature women in verticals, and I'm so hard to elevate, you know, to advocate for more lead roles.
Absolutely. I love the verticals. I don't know what one was the title, something about got married after my 40s or something like that. I really appreciate that.
You know, they have the love after 50s one, but often they cast 35 to 45 year old women. So I'm trying to get casting 50 plus women for the 50 plus roles. But, you know, it's coming. Everything is evolving. Everything is coming.
Do you think there will be more verticals with, I don't want to use this word older, but
mature. I just say mature. We're mature.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I do think it's coming because it was very popular in China. And so popular in China then comes over and gets made here. So first they're making all the most popular ones, and then I do think it's coming, and I think that the more the fan pages and everything say that they like to be able to see themselves. The graphic is more mature women who watch verticals. So for me, I want to be able to look and see this fantasy that, I can have this amazing romance with a Latin lover or whatever.
Yeah, because I think it's kind of silly. You know, when an actress with 19 in the normal life, she's 19 or 20, plays the mother of an 8 or 9 years old child. Sorry, but that's so ridiculous.
Yes, and you want to know what's even funnier is that I've played an 87 year old.
Oh, really? Oh.
I played a great grandma with a cane. That one just came out. I know it's so funny, but I don't let it affect my ego. I just say I'm working. I'm a working actress. How lucky am I?
But mostly you play some kind of mothers, aren't you?
Mostly mums, and then sometimes grandma. But the great grandma was
okay. That was out of line. Little bit out of line.
Two shows ago, I played a 72-year-old, but it was my favorite role because I got to wear, my hair was all teased up, and I had blue eyeshadow, and I had the girls were out, and she was the sassiest, and I wore leopard print, and it was my favorite role ever.
Yeah, I think I think it depends on good the role or the character is written in the script, isn't it? If you're playing a great grandmother near to death, or are you playing a grandmother full of energy and motivation, you know?
Feisty. I kept hitting everyone with my cane.
You love this role, huh?
Like, you gave me a cane, I'm gonna
You
use
said,
it.
"Sorry, I had to hit you. I'm sorry for that." So nobody can get sad on you.
Thing is, it's just in the casting notices that it says the age range. It's not like when you're acting it, it says grandma 72. You're just who you are. So,
Okay, so you don't have to be
no,
bad
like
in
they.
walking or.
Like wrinkles, or sometimes they
Okay.
might be lighter, but you know, it's not like they're aging me up. So I just go in and I rock it and whatever. But I do agree. I'm excited for there to be more mature leads and mature stories, because I think that's what women want to see, you know, as well as the other stuff. But you want to be able to envision yourself in that imaginary world.
Yeah, but you know, the other stuff, I watched Vertical since 2023, so from the very first beginning. And now the stories get repeating. Different casts, but sometimes mostly of the stories repeat. And so there have to be new stories because people like me, who watch from the beginning, are getting bored and not entertained anymore, even when the cast is great. But a great cast cannot rescue a shitty story.
The same story, which is why I wrote my own and why I produced my own, and it's completely different than anything. It's the first ever tropical surfing one.
Has it dropped already? I saw the advertising for, or the picture for it, but has it dropped?
The first 10 episodes, and now next week I'm going to LA to meet with distributors, to meet with the platforms. And then,
Ah.
so I changed. Normally, the platform gives funding to a production company with the script, whereas I funded it myself, paid for everything, and wrote it and filmed it so that I could have complete creative control.
That's good.
I made it the way I wanted to. It's very different. It's tropical. We have three love stories that are going
Oh.
on that are intertwined. It's gorgeous with palm trees and blue water, and oh, it's gorgeous. But also, there's real emotions, you know. It's tender. We have a widowed mom and her adult children, and they're dealing with the grief. But it also, we still have the evil pickleball bitch, and you know, we have the evil
But
developer.
hopefully not so many slapping.
None, zero.
Holy moly, thank you.
No slaps. No. We have no slaps. We have consent. Any intimacy, you know, we have three kisses and there's consent. So, and we made the
Oh,
sexy because
well, that's
consent
good.
sexy, which is a big thing for me. The forced intimacy and the coercion is just a no go. So I tried to weave in the values that I believe into it, but still keeping it vertical.
That's good. And how did you find your cast? Do you have, when you were writing it, also vision who would fit for your roles?
Because being an actress, I'm so lucky. I've worked with so many incredible
Yes.
actors, and actually, last night at dinner, we were all laughing because at the table there was Kirby Elwood. Kirby's played my daughter-in-law. Then Natasha Rymer, she's played my daughter-in-law. Then Nick Westway's played my son, and then. We had one other. Anyways, we were laughing because I've been all of their parents. Step-parents. And then we had a vote. Was I evil to them or was I nice? So I've had so many children. So I've had so many children. So I cast people and I wrote them with people in mind. So okay. Jordan, and he was such a sweet surfer boy, and so wonderful. So I had him in mind. And so I was super excited when he came on board. And then Anastasia, Natasha Reimer, she'd played my daughter-in-law in another one. So I brought her on board. And then Jada Stevens, I played her mother. And so she came on as the other one. And then Mark James, we had acted together. So I cast the main people that I had known, and then mm-hmm. I cast newcomers in bigger roles. And I wanted to bring in diversity, and people with accents and people with different color skins, different accents, because mm-hmm. diversity. So I brought in two new actors. Who were fantastic, three new actors who were fantastic. I balanced it between experienced and some newer cast.
Oh, that's great. Huh. Where can I watch the first 10 episodes?
Right now it's on the Real Short contest. So the Real Short Vertical Impact contest, and the first 10 episodes are there.
I have to go watch it, I think.
I'll send you a link when we're done.
Oh, please. Yes, please. Because I love to see new stories. It's time for you.
I will send you the whole thing.
Yes. That's great. I won't tell anybody.
Oh, thank you. We just had our screening party last night with our cast and crew, and it was so fun. So we watched it for the first time all together, and we were like, oh, it's so heartwarming.
I will record an episode with Kirby, I think, in 2 weeks or 1 week. I will ask her about this role.
Unfortunately, Kirby's not in it. I was in Governor with her, but we saw her last night at after dinner.
Yeah. Okay. Since when are you in acting? When did you start? Was it always a dream as a kid, or was it, I don't know, a vision when you get 20, or I don't know? How did you get into acting?
Thanks for asking. I think I was born dramatic. I think mother, I came out of the womb dramatic, and when I was a little girl, I always wanted to be an actress. And then when I became a teenager, I started to really get into it, and I got an agent and did acting then. And then in high school, I studied method acting for 2 years in a professional program. However, back then, the industry was very different than it is now, and really was, I would say, damaging to a young woman's self-esteem. As they openly commented on your physicality. So I would get parts to audition for at the top that would say the fat, ugly girl.
Oh.
Yeah, so I was always sent the roles for the fat, ugly girl. I'd go to an audition and they would tell me if I could lose 10 pounds by the next week, they would give me mm-hmm. the part. And so when I became 19, I realized that this wasn't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went off to travel the world, and I ended up living in Japan for 12 years and opening a business. And then I raised my two children, and then last year
did you marry a Japanese man?
He was actually British. So he's the father of my two children. And then when I came back to Canada, we were in a remote town, a ski town. So acting still wasn't in the cards. But last year, a year and a half ago now, I moved back to Vancouver. And then I thought, I'm at this amazing time in my life, you know, kind of newly 50. And I thought, what about me? Like, what do I want to do now? And I thought, I'm gonna go back to acting. And so I thought, oh, maybe I'll get one role or two roles. And I thought, well, we'll see, we'll do things. And right away, I booked a huge international commercial. And then I booked my first vertical, and I had no idea what vertical. And actually, Nick Westway was playing my son. And the first scene we were filming, we were running upstairs and I was pushing him out of the way, saying, get out of my way. And he said, is this your first vertical? And I thought he meant like, because we were shooting going upstairs. Oh, yes, it's my first vertical. And I still had no idea that they were shooting this. No idea what a bloody vertical was. And so it took me like 5 days to figure it out.
And then the first shooting was over.
Yeah, and then from there, now it's been 1 year and I just filmed my 24th series.
All in Vancouver?
Yeah, Vancouver's crazy. We have so many going on nonstop.
Yeah, I spoke to Hayley Hansen,
Oh, nice. Yeah.
but she cannot do any verticals at the moment because she's in the union.
Yeah.
And she told me that verticals in Vancouver are huge at the moment.
Huge. We have so many going on nonstop. So I've just worked back to back shows. So 24 in about a year.
That's crazy.
So I've been so grateful. And then it's this weird, you know, crazy new world. And I've been able to be working nonstop for a year. So I'm so grateful to Vertical.
So do you only what are you doing only verticals at the moment mostly, or also kind of commercial and horizontal stuff?
Actually, I had an agent for commercials, but she was so frustrated because I was never available. Because so she told me, if you have 2 months with no bookings, then we'll put you out for commercials. I was like, I don't have 2 weeks without bookings. So
I
I don't
cannot say what I'm doing in 4 weeks, so come
know. Exactly.
on.
So now I made the decision to focus just on verticals because I feel that I had this opportunity to do really well really quickly. And because I started very early, then a lot of the more established actresses were looking down on verticals and they didn't want to do it. So I got to know all the production companies, the casting directors, the platforms early on. So I had this great opportunity. So I thought, I'm just gonna stay in my lane and I love doing it. I love the dramaticness of it. I love the big emotions. I love the outfits. I love that we're all like a little family when we're filming. Our community is so nice. So for now, that's what I'm doing.
You are happy with the situation at the moment. Do you like more playing the villain one or more playing the nice one?
So 100%. It's way more fun than being nice.
I know that because I always had to play the villain. Even at the kindergarten in Sleeping Beauty, I was the bad witch. So, because of my black hairs, maybe, I don't know.
It's much more fun. So I am very happy in this space, but there's things I would like to see changed.
Yeah, that's always good. I always want to know what's not so great. And also for the fans and audience and directors, you know, I'm doing episodes with all kind of people wandering in this space, and Everyone has its own point or wish for improvement. So what is yours?
I have so many,
So
but
many. Oh God. You know, we have 1 hour then.
exactly. I'll be super quick. Biggest thing, I would love pay equity because right now women get paid substantially less than men.
Even in the same role, maybe?
100%. So women get paid far less, and also Canadians get paid far less than. They bring LA actors to Canada
Why
and
that?
it's much more than us, and they're paid in US dollars, and they have to pay their flights and their accommodation. So pay equity would be amazing, and older ladies also get paid less. So I'm the triple threat. So
Why
older,
that?
so I'm really. But it's hard because if you advocate too much, then
Yeah,
you
they took another one. But what do you think? Why is it that an LA actor is paid more than you? Because you're doing the same job.
same job. There's just this stigma that they're from LA, so they must be more amazing. But there are amazing actors from
Yeah,
LA,
absolutely.
incredible Canadian actors, and we're doing the same. And actually, Daniel Dongma
Australia.
from Australia, I was on a panel with him, and I just fell in love with him instantly because he said, "I think that there should be equal pay." I think that the women should earn more because they're being slapped, they're being hit, they're
Yeah.
every episode they're getting treated poorly. Women should be earning more than the men. And I was like, thank you, you're a good man. Yes. Right. So, it's early days, but I think that, with organizations like VFSSA, the Vancouver. Not Vancouver, Vertical Film Short Story Alliance, Short Series Alliance. They are advocating for safer conditions, equal pay, all of those things. So I think it's going to get there, but I this balance between speaking out
Yeah.
too much, because if you do too much, you won't
Yeah,
get.
it's the same thing. When I talked to Molly Anderson, she told me that she sees the problem. You get paid once for this role, and you don't know before if it's gonna be a hit or not. And sometimes if you land a hit with this vertical, the platform earns millions of dollars with it, and you got paid, I don't know, $400 per day, for example. And she said the next shitty thing is when it's sold to more than one platform, you even get paid once, it doesn't matter.
Some of these verticals have 300 million views, plus. And yes, that as actors, sometimes as actors here, we're getting paid under minimum wage. So it really it would be beautiful to see the wealth filter down to the crew as well, the cast. But I think we're on our way. Every time I'm able to advocate little by little, but it is hard or disheartening when you're on a set and you're doing equal work and you know that the man from LA is being paid three or four times the amount that you are
So
for.
much for
You're looking handsome.
Holy, only because he's from Hollywood?
Yes, and abs, they like abs.
Ah, okay, they pay for. Okay, I got it. They pay for apps. Okay, ma.
Okay. It's like I'm still so grateful to the vertical space, and I think that we will get there. It's like
Yeah.
every slowly but surely. And I think we're heading in the right direction. I'd say
Yeah,
that
it's totally at the beginning, I think.
I'd like to see less violence against women, of course.
Absolutely. There are so many, typical things that's not entertaining. That's sometimes it's even more triggering with kind of I had a good friend of mine. She had two miscarriages, and she was really sad about that. And when you see then a vertical where a woman is treated to get miscarriage, that's really hard. So I think there should be a trigger warning or something like that, that this kind of stuff is handled in this vertical, because mostly women are watching verticals, and mostly I'm saying a age range about 25 till 50, something like that mostly. And there are all women with so many own stories.
I very much agree, and I, without saying too much, that's something that I've advocated for recently, for that treated with sensitivity and to have a trigger warning. And yeah, I can't say much more, but
No, hopefully we'll get there, because it's also like the kind of stuff, when someone is getting raped. That's exactly the same kind of stuff.
don't understand who, why those ones get such high viewing. That's what confuses me, because I
That
think
I'm
all.
discussing a lot with the actors, because for me it's not understandable. Molly had a really great explanation, or she was trying. She said that most people are hyped by something. It's like even if there is an accident on the street, the people like to watch it, even if it's dramatic. They like, as long as they're not personally involved, they like to watch it. They're so sensation hyped. And I think that's the kind of the vertical type too.
Yeah, I have yes, and the ones with coercion, it hurts my soul.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing is, I watched recently a few new kind of new stories. And I really like that. There was no banquet scene, there was no bad stepmom in it, and it was so a fresh kind of story. A little bit more comedy in it. It was entertaining.
I can't wait to send you mine. I hope, yeah, it's
That
so.
was for me entertaining, because when I'm sitting down and watch a vertical in the evening or whenever on the couch, I want to get entertained.
Yeah, you want to get lost in it, and for it fresh, and to not be feeling terrible when you're watching it.
No.
Oh, I can't wait for you to see ours.
If I want to feel terrible, I have my normal life. That's tragic enough, So.
It's not what we, that's what we want to escape to it. So I agree with that. And I think that a shift has started to happen.
Yeah,
So
also with the pirate one. Did you saw the trailer of the pirate one?
okay, so that's my friends, Julie and Steve. And so we talk a lot. Right now we're talking about me coming on with producing with it, potentially. And because we're the two people right now that are doing something completely different and self-funding and funding first, making it, then selling it, so that we can have the creative freedom. But of course, then there's a risk, because will the platforms take a chance on something different? So fans are saying, we want fresh stories, we want different looks. The better it is for people like us who are trying to be disruptive a little bit and bring something fresh and new. So yes, beneath crimson sails, I'm so excited for it. And actually, I'm gonna have a part in it.
Oh, that's cool. So, what's the reason for you to start writing? Because you want to have a fresh kind of story?
I wanted fresh stories and I wanted my values represented. So.
Okay, because it's not so easy to write, to wake up and say, okay, I've started writing. I'm bored of the stories, I've stopped writing. And then, bam, there is a script. How long did it take for you to write the script?
Well, I have ADHD, which I consider my superpower.
Okay.
In some things, of course, it makes life a little more challenging,
Mm-hmm.
but when I get ADHD hyperfocus, I can accomplish what in one day I can do what takes regular people 1 week, you know? So I was finished the script, I'd say in 2 weeks. So I was head down and power wrote, and I just got all consumed in it. And so, but once you get into the story and you know, you're like, okay, and then this happens, and
Yeah,
then
you want to know how what will happen next to the end.
exactly. So, but mostly, and the other really neat thing about it is that my son, Indiana Wilson, he is an aspiring director of photography. So I
Oh.
wanted to work together. So he's the DP and I was the director. And I hired his friends from film school and we all went to Costa Rica and we
Oh,
stayed
that's great.
in villas and at dance parties and it was amazing.
I believe that. So it's kind of a family project.
Yeah, very, very wholesome. And now we call ourselves the Todd family, the Tides of Desire family, because when you're living and eating and filming together with people so intense in another country, and we went through so much. Jada got stung by a scorpion.
Holy.
Yeah, so you know, so we went through so much together. All of the flights got canceled the night everyone was about to fly out. Like it was
Oh.
just crazy. So it was the hardest thing I've ever done
Yeah, but a
producing.
time to remember, huh?
Amazing. So we all kind of bonded and you know, now we're
So
a little
it won't be the last project of you together.
we're planning a sequel for Tides of Desire to film in May.
Oh, great. Yeah, you know, I think this kind of filming, you see it in the end that it's more, I don't want to say heartfelt, the project, but it's, you know, sometimes it's getting better, but the first verticals, because of the fast timing, you see it in the end of the shooting. Sometimes you see that a scene should have been more than one take to get it a bit more. So, and sometimes the sound is so bad, and so the quality of some verticals is lack because of the short timing in the filming story. And I think when the director really burns for this script, and even as you did, wrote it by itself, I think you totally see this in the end.
I have to say that I know that people will be able to feel our love and passion for the project, but there's things I would have done better and different. You know, now after looking at
Yeah,
all,
but okay, it was your first project, so.
it was, and you know, it's like you're filming on a beach and sand can get in the cameras and there's the sound of the waves and there's the local people standing and all of these things. Also the heat, it was 40 degrees and
Oh.
look at my crew and they were soaking wet and the actors and we were all trying to stay and sometimes I would say, okay, we should take another take. But we all need to, that's it. You
Yeah,
know?
I know. I know.
Just like, okay, everyone's dying, we're dead. But we did film really early in the morning, and then we had 3 hour siesta where we would go swim in the pool and have our lunch and have a nap. And then, well, other people might have had a nap, but I was working. But you know, we would film for 4 hours in the evening and we'd finish by 7 p.m. So, and also normally you're filming at least 12 hours a day, but maximum 10-hour days of filming. But because of the heat, it was
How
enough.
many days you did you shoot?
We shot for 8 days, one day in Canada, 7 days in Costa Rica. So it was a typical amount of time to film because normally they're filmed in 8 here. Now they're actually getting shorter and shorter sometimes, and I'm like, it's too much. It's already crazy. You know, filming 19 pages in one day is like,
I can imagine that, especially your days are so long because when you're heading back home from set, it's not the finish for the end for this day because you have to learn the text for the next day. And for me, it's hard to believe that you can switch off your brain and say, okay, now I can calm down. I have 10 hours break. That's not possible. So for me, it's sometimes hard to understand how some actors can do one project after another. There sometimes you read, oh, shooting day 48 in a row, and I said, come on, 48 days in a row, 12 hours?
Well, of course, I'm not 20, but I just finished 11 days, well, 11 days over 12 days, so with one day break. And it was a lot. You know, that was very hard. Very, very hard. I don't recommend it to anyone, but
And how long do you have a break till your next project now?
so I'm going to LA tomorrow, which is exciting. So I'm going to Verticon, and so I'm going to both of those. And then when I get back, I actually have tried to take a little bit of a break. Even every time I try to take a break, it
It
doesn't
doesn't
happen.
work.
But I have only two things booked for October, and they're smaller parts. But there is a lead that came up that's my age range. So
You cannot say no.
I can't say no. Whenever a lead comes up for my age, I really want to be trying for it. So we'll see. You never know, but I tried to keep a little bit of a break for October because I'm a little out. So.
I'm very exciting for the upcoming Christmas verticals because last year there haven't been so many Christmas verticals. And I'm really hoping that there will be some good one this year.
I'm so excited. I just auditioned for my first Christmas one. And I don't know if I got the part yet, but she loves Christmas and she has sexy snowmen competitions. And so much. And so I wrote to the casting director. I was like, just letting you know that this is a perfect part for me.
That's mine. That's truly mine.
So we'll see. I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, because I'm doing for the podcast a monthly recap with the six big review ladies of the vertical world. We are doing a monthly vertical recap, and yesterday we decided to do a Christmas special edition where we all only talk about Christmas verticals. And we are doing a special edition for Halloween and vampire werewolf verticals. So if you have good advice for verticals like this, text me
I
because
will. I'm the queen of the werewolves in Luna is Back. So maybe they changed the name. I think it's Luna's Back. Anyways.
yeah, the name changes every time, so.
I don't know. Sometimes the names change. Sometimes, yeah. So, and
I'm.
we don't get told when they come out. So we also.
Yeah, I talked to Matt Macedo, the director, and he said, sometimes I read the first review and I didn't even know that it was released.
And you'll be like, oh, okay. Or if they change the name, and then you don't realize you're in it. So normally we all kind of have a little network where we'll send it to everyone and say, look, it was released today. And yeah,
Did you watch your own verticals? Do you watch your own verticals or not?
barely. I just to get the demo reel, it's hard to watch yourself. It's you know, and also because I'm evil in them sometimes, my children don't like to watch it at all.
How
They
old are your children?
17 and 21, and they're like, we don't like to see that.
Don't want to see mom as a bad one.
So evil. So sometimes I'll watch and be like, oh, I don't want anyone to see me that way. But you know, hopefully people can distinguish between real life.
Yeah, I think, yeah, okay, because sometimes you're not playing always the evil one. I think it's more hard when you always have to play the villain that you then you get pickled and some people cannot be, is it the private one or the, I think then it's kind of hard to keep his, the own nice attitude.
Yeah, I agree. So, but it is fun. So I'll watch a little bit, or I'll get it, you know, to get it for my demo reel. I'll watch it. But also it's hard because I don't want to pay money to watch something
So
that
you know how expensive it is to watch verticals?
like we don't get paid very well. So I'm like, I don't want to now pay money to watch something
Yeah, I totally understand. But it's so ridiculous how much money it is at the moment, and it's so ridiculous how many apps out there.
yeah, I wonder what's gonna happen. I'm
I
curious.
have the feeling every time I see a new advertising for a new show on Instagram or something like that, it's a new app. I'm at the moment with 49 apps on my handy.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Can I ask you what your favorite app is?
My favorite app is? To be honest, I really like Candy Jar. Because the stories are so well there and it's every time so well filmed. I never saw a bad vertical on Candy Jar, never ever. And I
Yes,
like that they are sometimes making two parts or three parts out of the story. I really like that. The other I watch often is Viglu.
that's the two, yeah, that people are really talking about.
Because you know, on Candy Jar, for example, a yearly membership costs me 70 euros. That's totally fine. Then on RealShort or anywhere else, a weekly membership is already 25 euros. And on Candy Jar, I have 70 euros and have it for a whole year.
And you like the content. So yeah,
Yeah, they don't release so much like RealShort or somewhere else, but the quality. Quantity is not quality, you know? The thing is, RealShort releases so much new shows lately, but half of them I cannot watch because I watch two or three episodes and think, okay, same shit again, and turn it off. I'm not a person who forced me to watch till the end because I have paid for it. If I see, okay, after round about five, six, seven episodes, it doesn't catch me, I turn it off because then I don't have so much time to waste on a shit.
one thing we struggled with editing Tides of Desire is needing to grab the attention within the first 10 episodes, but we also want things to unfold like a
Yeah.
flower, you know? So it was this very hard balance because we don't want people to stop watching, but also we want there to be layers and evolution and for the story to develop. But when you know that people might leave within 3 episodes, trying to balance that out.
Yeah, but the thing is, in most verticals, the first 10 episodes until the paywall are so fully overloaded, and then you see exactly after hitting the paywall, the story drops so badly. And they were discussing, for example, for 50 episodes, is it really him? Are you sure it's him? And that's the whole question for the rest 50 episodes, you know? Come on, really?
Yeah, as an actor too, sometimes you'll be on page 50 and you're like, I'm saying the same thing. I'm saying this different way. Like, I want to say something new,
Yeah,
please.
for me, sometimes, come on,
Yeah.
show them your ID and they believe it or not.
Oh, no, I can't talk about specific ones, but there have been some where I'm like, how would she not recognize just
Yeah.
because
She's a fraud. He's a fraud. And the first 10 episodes, the whole crowd said, yeah, she's a fraud. And then someone said, no, she's not a fraud. Okay, she's not a fraud. And then they're saying 20 episodes, no, she's not a fraud. And then someone new came in and said, are you sure? And
that's
that's the reason I don't understand how a script writer for this kind of vertical can earn money with this only question, is it he or she or not?
the thing, right? That's why when we had multiple storylines and multiple, like three love interests, everyone said, is it too complicated? And I said, look,
No.
people viewers are smart,
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. Sometimes I felt dumb because of this.
we said, no, they can fit, they can follow three love affairs, it's
Yes.
way how they're intertwined and all of that. But it does take time to tell a story if you're not doing the same thing over and over. And so making sure that viewers stay with us, is something I'm hoping that they will, because it really does come together at the end.
Yeah, I think, if they realize that it's a kind of fresh storyline, absolutely. Because, the thing is, when you know exactly after the fifth episode what will happen next, because you know the storyline in and out, so that's not attractive to watch. And for me, it's every time attractive when I start watching a vertical and I see, oh, that's kind of interesting storyline. It's smooth from the beginning. You can slowly get in touch with the characters and not so overloaded a few time. Then it's for me interesting because then I want to see how the characters can develop in this whole situation and not in the first 10 episodes kidnapping, rapping, banquet scene. All kind of that stuff, you know. I for me it's a sign when I start to watch how many episodes are left for this vertical, then I'm out. Then I feel okay. When I'm very into a vertical, I sometimes it ends and I said, oh, whoa, finished? What? No, please not. That was too fast for it. You know what I mean? So the thing is not to be so overloaded in this episode. I think it's more to get smooth in touch with the characters and make them interesting and not super special or so unrealistic that everyone says, okay, come on. That would never happen, never ever. So I think we need some more down-to-earth stories, realistic
Well,
one.
ours is so grounded. It's so sweet. Like there's beautiful moments, tender moments between mother and her children. That's healthy, right? Like just
Absolute. I don't know which vertical it was. There was a meal, the male lead so caring for his woman, and I was so, oh, the first man I'm seeing in a vertical who's so motivated to be a real great husband to his woman. No one who says, you have to do this, what are you doing? Kind of, oh, that was so nice to watch because I thought, okay, the hope isn't lost that there are out there some great vertical stories where the man really treats his wife equal, nice.
Beautiful.
But it's so rare. These stories are so rare.
It is, but I think they're coming. You know, it's interesting. Even when I was writing, you know, there's this pressure to make it vertical enough that viewers will be there. And I had a scene where Jada Stevens and Jordan Frank, their characters were sitting on the beach and they were opening up about they both had lost a parent. Beautiful scene, and originally I had written it that, you know, that they had this confession and then they started to kiss, and then it, you know, that they had this kiss. But when we were filming it, I was like, no, that's completely wrong as director. So I said, just put your arm around her and kiss the top of her head and let her lean her shoulder. And it's more impactful, a little on the head, and acknowledging that must have been so hard for you. And it's like, how amazing, right? To see so much more touching than them just making out. They do make out and it's pretty great, but you know.
But it's silly when they are making out 5 minutes after they're getting to know each other, and then she directly got pregnant, mostly with triplets or twins. Ugh. No, sorry, but no.
So funny. Oh, so funny. I mean, sometimes that's the fun, is that how preposterous they are. But exactly like you're saying, that I think that the fans and viewers are ready for something new.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I also would love to see if I don't know how to say it. I'm shocked sometimes how careless they are about protection. And I think, okay, listen, for me it's clearly, but I'm not sure how many see
There's a lot.
this and said, okay, they don't care. If you get pregnant, not a problem. You can get an abortion, you know, that kind of stuff.
Billionaire CEO, you know, in 7 years, who will, you know, I agree. So many things,
You have to write another story, and none another and another. There are so many.
I have so many in my head.
That's good.
So many in my head that it's like, first we're
How
doing
did
this.
you how did how did you get your inspiration for your first story?
So interestingly, so I have a house in Nicaragua,
In
and
Nicaragua.
which it borders Costa Rica. So when I was there, the turtle conservation, the plight of the turtles, really inspired me, and there's an amazing organization that the local Nicaraguans, they go and they get the nests and sell them on the black market,
Okay.
feed their families, you know, this, and it's cultural, but it is diminishing the turtle populations. So this organization is so cool because they worked out with the locals that they'll buy the nests from them. Instead of selling them, they buy the nest and, you know, protect it. And then all these baby turtles go out into the ocean. And then they go out and then they come back 20 years later. So we have the turtles in our vertical. There's, you know, girls, Sage, she's obsessed with the turtles, and she all turtles, and it's so cute. And so we have that little bit of conservation. And then also, I've traveled so much around the world, and so many developing countries, developers buy the last of the beachfront and turn it into big resorts. So that's kind of, you know, we have this developer and he's bought all the last public beach, and it's also the turtle habitat. So, you know, so it's this whole thing. about getting the beach back and all of that. So that's kind of where it came from. And we were going to film in Nicaragua, but getting the permits was so hard,
Okay.
as well as the infrastructure and gear rental and everything. But Costa Rica is very established as a film location,
Okay.
shifted to Costa Rica. It's much more expensive, unfortunately, than Nicaragua, but so that's how it all developed.
That's nice. Have you ever been in Germany when you traveled so much?
I wish I had. I know.
Oh, come on.
I've spent so much time in Asia versus Europe. But I've been feeling like the need to go to Europe, so I'll come and
Have you
visit.
never been to Europe?
I have, but I just haven't been in a long time. So, I lived in Spain before, and then I've been to England and France and Greece.
So nicely all around about Germany, but not, okay, I see, I see. I got you.
I'll go soon. Yeah, but now
You
I have.
can get also a lot of inspirations because I live in the south of Germany, nearly the border to Switzerland, Austria, and Luxembourg. Everything is 1 hour from here, so you can go everywhere to the Alps, to that. So totally nice. And the landscape here is really great.
Oh, yeah, so
But
beautiful.
vertical space is here not really developed.
No, but in Ukraine,
Yeah,
no.
they're filming a lot in Ukraine. In
And
Turkey, they are filming a lot of, and in Italy lately.
no, I have a script in my head about for a little castle in Italy that would be really good.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who told me lately that they were doing? Dan Löwenstein. I spoke to him. And he told me that he filmed lately a really nice vertical in Italy in an old fisherman's town in a small village directly near the sea. But it hasn't released yet. But he told me that this one I will love because it's the old Italian charm in it.
Whoa, that's so exciting. Well, our production company, my son and I, it's called We See Films, but WEC, We See Films. We want our thing to be that anything that we produce is different, So
That's great.
it's tropical, so we're always like thinking, and so actually Italy has come up as one of the
Yeah,
places.
the landscapes in Tuscany and so also really beautiful. France also.
Yes,
The
yes.
Provence in France is really nice.
It's the balance between being able to find local producers, how hard the permits are, is rental gear available, all of those things. So we want, we hired Costa Rican people because I think it's important that we contribute to the local economy if you're. Worked really hard to integrate with the community and leave a positive impact when we left. So all of those factors made Costa Rica great. So it's interesting the next location that we go to try and find all of those elements, right?
Absolutely. In Germany, you can do a great Christmas one because we have a lot of snow, not nice Christmas markets, a traditional Christmas. Here is really nice. Yeah.
Love to see German Christmas markets. I'm such an elf.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you hate Christmas or you love it. I think there's nothing between. But the Christmas here in Germany is very traditional. It's not so commercial like the US stuff. We have it very much also with this whole Christmas markets. It's very traditional, but I like this traditional thing about Christmas. It's really nice. I love it. And mostly we have snow here. So it's really, it's the whole picture that fits for Christmas. Because sometimes I spoke, as I told you, to Declan, and he said, yeah, in Australia it's summer when it's Christmas. And I said, come on, 30 degrees, it's not, no, that doesn't fit for Christmas, sorry.
Oh, I would have one time I was in the Philippines for Christmas and I was like,
But you have snow, haven't you?
So in Vancouver, we don't have a lot of snow, maybe 1 or 2 days a year, but just 45 minutes up the road, the small town that I lived in the ski town, it's snowy for 6 or 7 months of the year, which was too much, let's be honest.
What's the typical ski resort in Canada? My ex-husband was in Canada for skiing, but I'm
Whistler?
Yeah, in Whistler he was. Yeah, exactly. He was in Whistler.
Children grew up and went to school, and I lived in the next town over,
Yeah,
Pemberton,
he was in
so
Whistler, exactly. The paradise for skiing. Yeah. You don't have a billionaire CEO husband.
Oh, you know what? I be my own billionaire CEO.
I don't need it, so what?
I want to write script. Oh, in my scripts, all the women had their own mind. They were educated. They had careers, you know, because
That's great.
heads, you know, that need to be rescued.
That's great because I live on my own since I got cheated and everyone said, "Oh, you're such a poor." No. I don't need a man. I can do my own shit. I can when I moved here, I built my furnitures all by myself. I painted the wall and so do you need? No, I don't need it.
I am with you, sister. Exactly. You know? So I want my scripts to reflect that as well. Because I want to, do you know? Okay, I just did something really funny. So the Real Short competition that I talked about, there was one section for Real Short fan adaptation. So I needed to adapt one of the Real Short ones. So I started looking through them and I saw DILFs. Do you know what that stands for?
I saw this with Kiki Fracks and who's in there, Tyler Shara and so on.
So dads, I'd like to. So I made a parody of it, and it's grandmas. Episodes for the contest, and oh, I just laughed the whole time. I've like with a white wig where I have flour in my hair. And, oh my God. I'm gonna send it to you. It's
Oh
so
yes, please.
funny.
We are nearly at the end. At the end, I'm always doing a 5-question quickie to everyone. So the first question is, what's your favorite dish for eating at the moment? What?
Thai food. Anything Thai food.
Thai food.
So chili, spicy chili chicken. Oh my
Oh
God.
ha, a lot of rice.
I don't love rice, but I like the chili chicken.
Okay, why not? What's your favorite film?
Oh, Moulin Rouge.
Oh yes.
I could
That's
watch.
really great.
Love that.
That's really I was in Paris near the Moulin Rouge.
So good. I would have loved to be alive in that era.
Yeah, I think it was hard but great for women. What's your favorite song at the moment?
Oh, I can buy myself flowers.
Yeah, that's a really nice one. That's a really nice one.
That one pumps me up if I'm like
You're turning out loud and dancing to your apartment. I can buy myself
sorry for myself.
flowers.
Whatever, I can do it myself.
Yeah, that's really great. This more self-confidence is needed in a woman.
I'm like, I can do it myself.
And when I'm asking you which one of your verticals I must definitely have watched, which one is it?
Oh, maybe Desires in Fire. Where oh, I'm grandma to quadruplets.
What a classic.
Funny. I would say maybe that one's the most popular, but yeah, but
And
I
what's the one with your best villain role?
the first one I did, I was so evil, but I don't even want people to watch it because I did I spoke up. I shouldn't have said that out loud, but I'm like, I didn't look good at all. So
Okay.
after that one, I went out and bought my own wardrobe because I was like, I'm never getting dressed again. So I'm like, nope, no.
Fine. Fine with that. And last question, what genre you want to see more in verticals?
Mature female leads, strong, independent women.
Oh yes. That would be nice if the male one is such devoted kind. What about comedy?
Comedy, yes, comedy is really hard. The sequel to Tides of Desire is a little bit comedy.
Okay.
It's Tides of Desire, Tides to Desire, Garden of Eden, and it's couples retreat. So there's lots of shenanigans going on at this couples retreat. So there's some comedy in it.
Is it planned to do it one part or more parts of your vertical?
Two. So we've got one series and then we'll do the sequel with
I'm really looking forward to it and I'm really excited which platform takes the risk to buy it. Because, you know, as long as they get the datas with the shitty ones, I'm not sure if they want to try the risk. But to be honest, I think platforms like Vglue, Candy Jar are more open to new things than the classic ones.
Yeah, I have some meetings next week, so cross
your... Yeah, fingers crossed. And we will see. We will how it goes. But I'm sure it works out. You are so motivated and you're so positive. And I think that's exactly what it's needed in this space to be in a good way to rock it.
Thank you. I think that we believe in it, so we'll just see what happens.
That's the best. Believe in yourself and then let's see what happens. A little bit fate is everywhere, so I keep my fingers crossed and I thank you very much for your time, Karen. It was such a nice conversation.
So lovely to speak with you and meet you, and one day we'll meet in person. I might just have to come to Germany.
For example. But then you have to do it in November for the Christmas markets.
Oh, that's the date. Next November. We'll see you there.
Yeah, you can take a break next November if it works out. So
that I'm that it's hard to take a break, you know?
I know. We will see.
I'm very blessed. So thank you.
All the best and thank you very much. Have a nice day and we will meet us again, I'm sure. Bye, Karen. This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.